Welcome to Perfectly Imperfect, the podcast for high-achieving perfectionist women struggling to see their worth in motherhood. With me, Rhea Oliver, owner of the Maternal Wellbeing Foundation and emotional health coach and therapist for anxious mums. I believe that when a woman truly finds herself in motherhood, it is often for the very first time in her life. Only then is she able to shed the weight of expectation, conditioning, judgment, and her worth being tied into productivity. And that this is one of the most freeing journeys a woman can go on. So join me while we delve into being perfectly imperfect and step into being uniquely you in motherhood. So as a perfectionist, people-pleasing, good girl, I want to look at why you use coping mechanisms like numbing out and avoidance to be able to give yourself a break and looking at what that really does to the way that you feel. Now, what you have to realize is probably 90% of your overwhelm, your anxiety, your stress, and your mental load is actually just perfectionism in action. You're overthinking the past, you're worrying about the future, you're thinking about who you need to be next, doubting what you said yesterday in that conversation at the school gates, thinking of ways to create the perfect memories and the perfect moments, telling yourself you're not good enough, telling yourself that you fail no matter what you do, comparing yourself to others. These are the kinds of scenarios and conversations that you have trickle feeding through your brain. It's like that annoying little voice in the background all of the time. And when you're giving so much of your emotional energy and your headspace to these things, it is having a massive impact or feeding in massively to the levels of overwhelm that you feel. But what you will tell yourself is that it's life is too much. There's too much on my plate. I've got too much to do all the time. And actually, a lot of the time, that is just simply not true. It's what's going on in your head. But your mind-body connection is so strong that when you are thinking all of these things and doubting yourselves and telling yourselves that you're a failure, it is having a physical impact on your body in the here and now. And when you can feel those stress levels rising in your body, when you can feel that overwhelm creeping in, it makes you think that then what I'm thinking must be true. And so you stay stuck in this cycle of being on that like hamster wheel of life. I see so many clients that say to me, I just never get a break. And I'm like, actually, you do. You just never give yourself a break. Because even when life is going well, you're already telling yourself you're going to fail at the next thing, or you failed at the last thing, and doubting your ability. And because your brain doesn't know the difference between real and fake events, if you are thinking those things and you are experiencing the feelings in real time, as far as your body's concerned, from a psychological point of view, that is your reality. That is what you are going through in the here and now. So 90% of what is going on for you, 90% of your overwhelm is just a set of thoughts that you are having on a reoccurring basis. Now, perfectionism is anxiety. I have so many clients that I'll say in our initial connection call, would you describe yourself as being an anxious person? And most of the time they say, no, not at all. But they are overthinking, they are worriers, they are self-doubting, they go through self-sabotage cycles, they're laying awake at night worrying, and they are all anxious habits. But they are masked as perfectionism, which can be seen as a good or disciplined or high-achieving habit. In the eyes of a perfectionist and in the eyes of a good girl, the label of anxiety is deemed as a sense of failure. If I'm anxious, I'm already failing. It's a feeling of being out of control. If I'm anxious, it means I'm out of control. But I'm not out of control because I do everything perfectly and I bend over backwards for everybody and I keep everybody happy all of the time. So that label of anxiety can feel like you are admitting to the outside world that you are not enough or you are a failure. Now, we know that that couldn't be further from the truth. You are more than enough exactly as you are, and you are not failing at anything. You're just not letting in any of the good things that happen because your self-sabotage and your self-doubt cycles are so strong. So if we are perfectionists, we can't say, well, I'm a perfectionist, but if I admit to being anxious, that's not a label I can take on board because it goes against the grain of the persona that you have created for the outside world. You are someone that does come across as being cool, calm and collected and in control and spinning all the plates, and people are like, wow, you're a super mum. How do you do it all? And you're like, oh, it's fine. And you like plaster this smile and this mask on, but underneath, the reasons why you are trying to do things perfectly, the reasons why you are a people pleaser and the good girl, is because of your anxiety. So if we think about 90% of your overwhelm and your stress and your anxiety is coming from your perfectionism and the constant train of thoughts that you're having about trying to be perfect and telling yourself you're failing, you are getting to a place where that mental load you are carrying is far outweighing your capacity to be able to deal with it. So what you do instead is turn to coping mechanisms that help you to numb or disassociate or distract yourself from the perfectionist pressures you put yourself under and from the mental load that perfectionism is creating. And then you can enter into procrastination paralysis. You're either going to do it all perfectly or you're not going to do it at all. But not doing anything can feel like a scary space to enter, because if I'm not doing anything and I feel too guilty to rest and relax, what do I do? Something needs to fill this space. So you numb. And you disassociate and you use a whole set of habits that keep you busy and occupied, even if physically you aren't doing too much. So when we go into that procrastination paralysis, or that period of I'm not going to start anything because I know I can't do it perfectly, and now I have this kind of empty space, that allows too many thoughts to be able to come in. And I don't need any more thoughts. I can't cope with any more thoughts. I can't deal with any more stuff. So I'm going to use my coping mechanisms. And I use the term coping really loosely here, because they're not coping mechanisms at all. They are ways to distract yourself and avoid the things that are going on and the way that you feel. Because as humans, I say this time and time again, we want the path of least resistance. We want to do the easiest thing. And it is easier to numb and distract and avoid than it is to deal with the challenges that we're facing, or even admit that these perfectionist, good girl, people-pleasing habits that I've had for so many years are actually no longer serving me. Now, they used to serve me, and they used to make things easier. And they did make me maybe a little bit happier, but now they're not serving me, but I have no idea how to let go of those things. So numbing and distracting is your way of stopping yourself from dealing with any of those things. And they are ways to take you out of the everyday reality of what you are dealing with in motherhood and life and business and relationships and all the things. But it is leading you to, and is a one-way ticket to, complete and utter burnout. You are starting to feel caged and trapped in by life. You are just going through the motions and enjoying nothing. And that is definitely not the life that you wanted to create for yourself. This is now so far from being the woman and the mother and the wife and the sister and the friend and the daughter that you ever wanted to be. But you don't know how to stop the train, right? So you numb out, you rely on coping mechanisms to help you avoid and distract yourself. But all you're doing when you are numbing or avoiding is creating more overwhelm and more overload, but just with different things. So you will be getting an in the moment sense of relief and dopamine hit from the fact that I'm not having to deal with the kids right now, even though they might be right in front of you, because I've got on my phone and I've taken myself somewhere else, or because I've gone into toxic productivity, or because I've gone and got myself a little treat from the kitchen. You are just creating more stuff, but different stuff from what is causing your everyday stress and anxiety. So it feels like a mental break, but it is so far from being that. It is just taking you out of your everyday and giving you something else to focus on for just a tiny moment. But that tiny moment is enough of a positive payoff that you keep on doing it several times a day. So some signs that you might be avoiding things or numbing yourself or distracting or disassociating are, like, doom scrolling is the number one source of numbing out right now. It's that the kids are all in bed. I've told myself I'm going to look after myself. I'm not. I'm actually just going to crash on the sofa. I'm going to doom scroll for hours sometimes. And now all of a sudden I'm not even getting to bed on time. So it could be that end of the day doom scrolling. You might be doing it at various points in the day, sometimes mindlessly without even realizing that that's what you're doing. Do you ever find that you've just driven back from the school run and instead of getting out of the car and going into your house, you turn the engine off and you sit and doom scroll? You get your phone straight out and you doom scroll because maybe the morning drop-off routine has been really difficult and you're maxed out already and you need a way to disassociate quickly. Or do you ever get out of the bath or the shower and you're wrapped in a towel and you might just sit on the edge of the bath and doom scroll? Or you sit on your bed when you should be getting changed and you get your phone out and you doom scroll? Or you sat on the toilet? The addiction to taking phones to toilets now and using that as a moment of peace is huge right now. You might be binge watching TV, but also probably doom scrolling. So whatever's on the telly, you're actually not even taking any notice of anyway. You might be emotionally eating, which is reaching for the sugar and the sweets and the chocolate and the carbs and all of these things that you know long term are going to have a health impact and a self-esteem impact if it's starting to change the relationship that you have with your body. It might be that glass of wine. The kids are in bed. I've had a really, really difficult day. I'm going to treat myself with a glass of wine or a gin or whatever it might be, whatever your vice is. It could be toxic productivity. So the kids are driving me nuts. I've had a really difficult day. So I'm going to clean everything. You know, that can be veering into OCD traits, but I'm going to busy myself because what I don't want to do or what I feel like I can't do is just sit and connect with them and play. So I'm going to slip into toxic productivity because it helps me prove my worth. It makes me feel valued. It distracts me from the stress of having to deal with the kids, but it's also stopping me from ever sitting down. Some sign, or one sign actually, of avoidance or numbing can even be using self-care as a reward. But actually, that reward never comes because we've never done enough or worked hard enough or been good enough to allow ourselves that form of self-care. Now, self-care in itself, I probably need to do a whole separate episode on this because this is... self-care is such a journey that so many women, myself included, go through. And it sounds, I think, really fluffy and nice, and it kind of goes against the grain of intrinsically who you are as a perfectionist, people pleaser. Like, if you tell yourself you're failing and you're not good enough, you're never going to feel worthy enough to look after yourself on a regular basis. Or you might find that you can do it for a certain period of time before you're like, I can't do this anymore. And you just slip back to your old habits. Now, we have all seen the reel that does the rounds on Instagram that is the woman, the kids are in bed, it's 8 o'clock, she's gone downstairs, she's on the treadmill, she's got a red light therapy mask on, she's replying to emails on her laptop, she's trying to drink 3 litres of water, she's doing all the things. And it kind of has the message of like, here's me trying to cram in my self-care to the 30 minutes that I've got after the kids have gone to bed before I crash out. Now, that reel gets shared far and wide and people find it funny. We all relate into it. But what we're also doing in finding that funny and relating into it is buying into this being our reality. And it doesn't need to be, or it shouldn't be. That in itself is not self-care. It's toxic productivity. You're not coming downstairs to really give yourself the boost that you need and do the things that are going to light you up and make you feel more like you and help you to grow and spread your wings and develop in the world. That's not what that is. You're coming downstairs and saying to yourself, I now need to be more and do more and do it perfectly and get it all in because I might not let myself have this time again for another week. That isn't self-care. If you are using self-care as a reward for working yourself into the ground, that is not self-care. Self-care is not a reward. It is an absolute necessary part of your everyday existence to be able to look after yourself. But that is not the messaging that we get around being a woman and a mother. So you're still not doing what you need. If you do come downstairs and try and do all the things to look after yourself in a half an hour slot before one of the kids wakes up or you're too tired to even think about it, you're not doing the things that you need. You're not resting. You're not getting an early night and getting some good sleep. You're not recharging. You're not getting out of these four walls that kind of have held you prisoner every day since you've become a mum. You're doing as much as you can to keep busy. And you're either going to be really busy looking after the kids and working and looking after the house, or you're going to be really busy and trying to do a million things as soon as the kids have gone to bed, whether it's to-do list stuff or whether it's the guise of self-care. That is all just toxic productivity. Self-care should be a completely different pace to your everyday reality. And for some people, that might be going out running, different pace to your everyday reality. It might also be resting and recharging, going out for coffee, meeting friends, walks out in nature, sitting and reading a book. There should be some kind of change of pace and a massive positive payoff that you get back from that. I feel so much better now. I feel more like myself now. I feel so recharged now. Not a quick, I've got half an hour. How can I cram more stuff into this next 30 minutes to try and prove to myself that I've done the things that I feel like I should be doing? That is not self-care. That is not self-care. You are numbing and creating an escape. You are either going to sit and doom scroll and binge watch Netflix and emotionally eat and do all of these things that kind of make you feel good but actually make you feel worse, or you're going to try and do all of this self-care in such a tiny time frame, but it's actually just more toxic productivity. And with all of those, you are trying to create an escape. But you don't want to escape from your life. Really feels like it sometimes. What you want is to feel more connected within your life, to see more, feel more seen in your life, to be more valued in your life. But you create this cage around you of needing to be perfect and then feeling like you fail at everything and wanting to look after yourself, but being toxically productive instead. And it's a never-ending loop of doing and avoiding and doing and numbing and doing and distracting, that it is no wonder you are in a place of complete and utter burnout, because it is draining. And this isn't the life that you want, but there are ways to get out of this. So at the moment, your way to cope as a perfectionist people pleaser with these really high standards and a lot of strict rules for yourself is to disassociate, avoid and distract. And none of those coping mechanisms are in any way healthy for you. Now, as a bit of an aside, and I could talk about this all day and all night, but when we're talking about self-care as well and doing things that actually create growth and change within us or spark a light in us or make us feel actually more like ourselves and not just mum or wife or business owner or all of these kind of roles that we play, the whole world of gifts for mums and self-care is centered around how we can take care of ourselves while at home. So if we think about Mother's Day, the gifts that come out are coffee cups and slippers and pajamas. I mean, don't get me wrong, I flipping love a new pair of pajamas, and dressing gowns and eye masks. And they are all things that are basically saying to us, by all means, look after yourself, but make sure you do it at home, right? And we're getting this all the time. Mother's Day, birthdays, Christmas. I mean, crazy idea, but what if we weren't tied to the home all of the time? What if actually we did have a village that supported us, or maybe just someone that supported us, a partner, a family member, a friend? What if we actually had time out of the home, outside of mum life, outside of work and business life, to simply just be you, and not just at the end of the day when you're burnt out, and not just when you hit rock bottom and you're desperate for something to change, but having this being normalised as being part and parcel of our everyday, much like it is normalised often for partners. They can go for drinks after work without giving it a second thought. They can spend 4 hours on a golf course of a weekend without giving it a second thought. Nobody bats an eyelid at those things, do they? But for women and for mothers, these are all some lovely fluffy things I can get you as a gift for Mother's Day, but you better be enjoying them at home. That's not enough. Because those things are nice. I love all of those things, don't get me wrong, but they are not what make me me. They are not changing my life for the positive in any way. They are not lighting anything up in me. They're nice things to have and do, but I am also allowed to leave the home and do things that matter. I'm also giving myself permission to say, what is it that I need? What is it that I want? What can I do right now that is going to add value to my life instead? Basic things like being at home and having a cup of tea and a nice bubble bath are not self-care. They are basic human needs. You are washing yourself and fueling yourself. That is not enough when it comes to looking after yourself. So, and sometimes we don't feel worthy of even looking after ourselves in that way. We don't even feel worthy of the self-care that we can just do at home. So we numb and we disassociate because all of this stuff feels too big to unpick. And there's so many family expectations and societal expectations that, God, like, where do we start? How do we unpick this? How can I be different from everybody else? So if you're starting to feel caged in by life, and your response to that is to numb and disassociate, you are probably feeling unsupported. You are probably feeling not seen and undervalued. But you are also stopping yourself from taking time out because of the mum guilt that kicks you up the arse, because of the expectations of what you think your role in life should be. And they become walls and barriers that you put up. I can't take time out because what if people need me? Or what if I fail at it? But what if I fail at being here? Like, all of these doubts and worries and beliefs we have become the bars of your cage, and you trap yourself in And a lot of that is stemming from the perfectionism and the people pleasing and always trying to be the good girl, because you can't be those things and also prioritize your needs, because they don't match. They're two different patterns that are going on internally, and only one can be the most dominant pattern. And you're going to rely on the perfectionism and the people pleasing because that's the pattern that has been there the longest and you've relied on the most. So as a perfectionist, you will be saying to yourself, I have to be the one that does it all, which means dropping self-care off my to-do list because I don't have capacity for that. And there's too much guilt surrounding it. And you will also say, and if I need something doing, I may as well do it myself because I know it's going to get done the way that I want it, which means within a relationship, your partner is no longer someone that helps and supports you. Are you keeping them at arm's length because it takes too much time and energy to explain to them what needs to be done just for it not to be done the way that you want it to be done and then having to do it yourself anyway? And then you're just back into your overload cycle, and we need to break this cycle. But instead of breaking it because we don't have the tools and it feels scary as hell to think, how do I step outside of something that has always felt like me and have always been habits that have kind of helped me up until now? Instead of breaking that cycle, we numb, we disassociate, we avoid, and we distract because it is the easiest thing to do. So if you are sitting there thinking, oh my God, this is me, I am numbing out all of the time, and we have all been there for sure, you are not alone in this, here are some things that you can do. Create micro moments of self-care, but with things that aren't bubble baths, because that's just having a wash, and they're not sitting down and having a cup of tea, because that's just having a cup of tea. What is it that lights you up? What is it that you really enjoy? Who do you enjoy being with? And add more of those things into your life. But start small. It doesn't need to be an hour or half a day or a whole day or a weekend away. 10 minutes every day, as often as you can, might only be once a day to start with, might only be once a week. Create those micro moments and notice what's different. Notice how it makes you feel. Start to prioritize your needs over a to-do list. You are not a to-do list. You are a person with wants and needs and desires and goals and aspirations. And dear God, those things need some priority sometimes. Your to-do list is always going to be there. Even if you get to the end of the day and you're like, oh, I've ticked everything off, you're going to wake up tomorrow and that list will be filled right back up again. So you may as well sprinkle some bits of what do I need within this. Ask for support and accept it without telling yourself that you're failing by doing so. Because I see this a million times over in therapy sessions, that if I can't do it all myself because my perfectionist driver is telling me that's what I should be able to do, it must mean I'm failing if I'm asking for help. Doesn't mean that at all. Asking for help is always a sign of growth and progress. It's okay if you can't do all the things, if you can't look after all the kids and run the household and reply to all of the school emails and run a business and be buying all the presents and maintaining relationships and friendships and everything else, it's too much. So start to focus on what matters the most and do more of those things and ask for help for the things that don't matter as much to you. Start to detach yourself from the dopamine hit of doom scrolling. It will free up so much time for you to focus your time and energy into things that do matter and things that do make you feel good, or simply just resting rather than scrolling. Really start to notice your beliefs around productivity and numbing. What does being productive all of the time do for me? What do I believe to be true about it? What is numbing out doing for me? And what do I believe to be true about it? And start to challenge those beliefs. Notice your beliefs around your role as a woman and a mother and a wife. And what do you believe to be true? What high standards are you creating for yourself within those roles that can start to be addressed? And what need is productivity and numbing meeting in you? and then start looking at how you can meet those needs in a healthier way. So toxic productivity and numbing, essentially, they are both things that are making you feel more seen. Well, productivity is going to make you feel more seen and more valued. Numbing is escapism. It's trying to get away from the things that feel too much, which is actually really your internal alarm system that is saying, my needs are not being met here. And it is telling you that over and over and over and over again until you listen and until you start meeting your needs. So have a little think about those things. Do a bit of journaling around them. Drop me an email or a DM if you've got any questions. And let's really start taking numbing and avoiding and distracting out of our toolkit, because they are not tools. They are not coping mechanisms. They are driving you further into anxiety, further into perfectionism, and further into people pleasing. And let's really start making changes in our lives. Thank you for listening to this episode of Perfectly Imperfect, the space for perfectionist mums wanting to find their worth and themselves in motherhood. If you have enjoyed this episode and want to find out more about my services or how I can support you, find me on Instagram at Maternal Wellbeing Foundation, or drop me an email on Rhea@thematernalwellbeingfoundation.com.